This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers here with you again this morning as we come to study the Word of God together. And today I'm going to speak about a love revolution that we need to have this year, 2026, in our own lives, in our churches, and in South Africa. A love revolution. I want to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is what it says to us. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith to that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And I commend to you this morning love. A love revolution. 1 Corinthians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church he had founded in Corinth. This letter was written from Ephesus around AD 55. By the report sent to Paul in this letter, he answers the problems that had arisen in the Corinthian church. The reports were about divisions in the church, the immorality in the church, legal battles between the church members and other people in the church, marital problems, and this church in which the gifts of the Spirit were operating. And the Apostle Paul had to tell them how to regulate the using of the gifts. So in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they were operational in the early church there in Corinth. And they were having excesses of what people were doing in the church. Then in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he speaks of how everything should be done in order. There needs to be order in the church. He says how they need to operate in the gifts. He does not forbid them, but gives the advice of how they can be done in order to edify, listen, edify, build up the body of Christ. No matter what you and I may think of this church in Corinth, it is still God's church. With all its flaws, yes, we must never forget that even in our local churches that you and I attend, none of them are perfect. You know why? Because you and I who attend them are not perfect. There are flaws because we are not perfect people. But God still loves his church and desires the best for his church. And I want to say that very clearly to you this morning. But between chapters 12 and 14 of 1 Corinthians, Yeah, we find people were showing off in the church, because chapter 14 was saying there was excesses going off in the church. They were just showing off, using their gifts. But in between chapter 12 and 14, there is chapter 13. To bring balance and show us all a better way. And show us all that from 1 Corinthians, we have a picture of real agape love, the love of God. Because when Paul writes to the Corinth church, and he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, he says to them, firstly, pursue love. That's the very first thing he says. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts. There's nothing wrong about that, but especially that you prophesy. But he says, pursue love. Love must be the first thing. That's why we're speaking about it today. There must be love. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have a picture of real agape love, the love of God. And I said last week to you as well, and I want to say it again, from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Out of the fruit of the Spirit. It's like a nine-faceted cut diamond that you're looking at and you see it. It says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of love, there flows the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Listen. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit is in the singular. Fruit grows on the branches that abide in the vine. And you and I bear fruit because of the Holy Spirit, the abiding Christ who abides in us, produces that in our lives. The Holy Spirit produces that. You see, God is love. And what we ought to be, the Holy Spirit wants to produce the fruit in your life and in my life. You see, we bear fruit. When we look at the full-blown picture, photograph of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see beautifully described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is told to us in all its fullness at the cross of Calvary. My friends, the cross speaks through all time. You know the old hymn, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering all the wrecks of time. You see, we see the fullness of God's love in the cross of Calvary. God loved. God gave his Son. The Son dies for your sin and my sin on Calvary's cross. Pays the price in full, past, present, and future. Christ wants you and I to represent him this way to the world. He wants to be reproduced in us by the power of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's come to live in us. The Holy Spirit's come to make Jesus. The moment we accept Christ, Christ comes to live inside of us. How does he live inside? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real in your life and my life. This description of love shows, in a sharp contrast to everything else, that the Corinthian church and what we have been like ourselves. Please hear me this morning, because God is love. God is love. He doesn't have to try to love. God didn't get up this morning and say, you know, I've really got to try and love the people on planet Earth. He doesn't have to try. He doesn't have to pretend. God is love. It's the very essence of God. God is love. That's the very essence of God. He has created each one of us with a desire and a need for love. Everyone desires the love of others. Everybody does. Everyone needs to love others. The Apostle Paul tells us the greatest fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Everything else comes out of love. Love is greater than eloquence. greater than intellect, greater than achievement and faith, greater than giving millions to poor people, greater than dying as a martyr for the sake of the gospel. It is love that really counts in human relationships. Love is the greatest helper, healer, and teacher. In 1 Corinthians 13, listen to me carefully this morning, you can substitute love with the name of Jesus. Instead of love, read it with Jesus. And it feels perfectly good because Jesus is the personification of the love of God. He is love. Let's look again at 1 Corinthians 13. Be honest. Be open this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life in the next few moments. It could be life-changing for those who are listening to me this morning. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, and instead of love, I'm going to put the name Jesus this morning. Listen to it carefully. I'm going to read it slowly for you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not Jesus, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not Jesus, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not Jesus, it profits me nothing. Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own way, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, Jesus. These three, but the greatest of these is Jesus. And I commend to you this morning Jesus above everything else. There are a few things I want to say from 1 Corinthians this morning. Number one, Christian love is always patient. Jesus is patient at all times. Love suffers long. We live in a day of tense impatience. We are impatient with the waitress who took too long to serve our food. We are impatient with the shop assistant that took too long to help us or to find something we were looking for. We are impatient with family members. We are even impatient with ourselves. We have a critical need for patience. God is a patient God. Think about it. He suffers long with people. He suffers long with you and I. Christ is a patient Savior. He was patient with his apostles. He's been patient with his servants down through the ages. He's patient with you and I this morning. Christ wants to help us to be patient with others. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this morning. Come on. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us this morning to be patient. Number two, Christian love is always kind. Jesus is kind at all times and in all kinds of circumstances. If you and I are to be truly loving, we must live a lifestyle of kindness. It has been said that kindness is a language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Love does kindness. Let me ask you, are you kind to other people? Be kind is one of the first verses that children learn from the Bible school. It's much easier to quote the verse than it is to be kind to everyone. And we need to hear that very clearly this morning. Jesus was always kind. Do you know that? He expressed kindness at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. He provided them with better wine for their wedding. He was kind to the widow of Nain when he raised her son from the dead. He was kind to the crowds he fed with the loaves and the fishes, and to his mother by providing for her while he was hanging on the cross. He said to John, "Behold your mother. Woman, behold your son." To the thief hanging on the cross next to him, he said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." May God help us to be kind at all times. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this morning that the fruit of kindness be produced in our lives. Number three, Christian love bears up under everything. The New English Bible translates this, "There's nothing love cannot face." Wonderful. There's nothing love cannot face. Another translator declares that love knows no limit to its endurance. Love is never rude. Jesus was never rude. He was straight, but never rude. Love carries the burdens of others cheerfully. Love can overlook the faults of others. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why sinners are attracted to Jesus. He loves them in spite of their unlovely ways. Love never gives up, even when the going is difficult. Yes, love bears all things. Ask the Holy Spirit this morning to produce that you might be able to bear all things, to endure all things. The next point, number four, Christian love is always eager to believe the best. Christian love is not suspicious. Christian love does not act like a detective or a prosecuting attorney. Christian love is completely trusting. Because of great faith in God, we are able to put faith in other people. Are we able really to do that this morning? Do we trust others? Trust others. Jesus could look at a very unstable person like Peter and see in him a solid rock. Jesus could look at the woman of low morals who came to the Samaria well and see a great witness to his saving power. Christian love has a habit of always looking for the best in others. Ask the Holy Spirit this morning, "Holy Spirit, help me. I can't do it by myself. Let me look for the best." You know what? We always look for the worst in other people. We're always trying to find fault with that. Let's look for the best. Come on. In 2026, we're going to look for the best in every person we come across. Number five, Christian love never ceases to hope. Jesus does not give up hope for you and me. There you are. Christian love has a deathless hope in the heart. Christian love believes that no person is a hopeless case. Many times we say people are hopeless. God can't reach them. God can't save them. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. No situation is without hope if you remember God and the power of his love. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, that you will have hope in your heart again. Number six, Christian love endures all things. Williams translates this verse, "Christian love gives us power to endure anything." Power to endure anything. Christian love does not surrender. Christian love holds on and keeps on holding on. Christian love is more than a passive resignation. It is a triumphant fortitude in the midst of difficult circumstances. It never gives up hoping, praying, working, believing. Ask the Holy Spirit that you might have the spirit of endurance in 2026. Christian love is never an accident, nor is it automatic. It is made possible by the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ for each one of us. As God's gift to us, love is the first fruit of the Spirit, the heart of believers. It grows to maturity as we nourish it. During these coming weeks of 2026, let us take Christian love into every relationship of life. Use love as you approach at home, at school, in your college, university, in your job, and in all difficult questions, problems you face during 2026. God loves you, I want to tell you this morning. Respond to his love with faith, commitment. Let this love flow through you and be a blessing to others. Love, I want to tell you, finds a way to work together for the kingdom of God. And I want to say to you all this morning that we need to keep on loving people. Let's make it a love revolution in 2026. We show love to people, because as we show love to people, we will change our world. We'll win people to Jesus Christ. We need a love revolution in our lives, our homes, our marriages, our churches. Love people. You know, people speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe the baptism of the Spirit is a baptism of love. We change our minds about God. We change our minds about other people. We change our minds about ourselves. What do I mean by that? We change our minds about God. We see God as the most loving, wonderful, caring Heavenly Father. All other earthly fathers fail into insignificance and pale into insignificance because God is the greatest lover of our souls. God is love. God's not trying to get you. God's not trying to blot you out. God is for you, not against you. And then we change our minds about others. You see, we see everybody has, there's goodness in every person we meet. And every person is someone for whom Jesus died. And therefore, we reach out to them in love. We change our minds about ourselves. We're not as good as we thought we were, and that we need the love of Jesus Christ. We need his forgiveness. We need the cleansing blood that flows from Calvary's cross. The cross speaks of love, love. God so loved the world, he came in Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit this morning to pour his love again into your heart. Pour his love again into your heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. What does it say in Romans 5:5? Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is love. May you carry that with you throughout the coming year. God is love. God is for me. God is not against me. God wants the best for my life. Put your arms around you this morning and just hug yourself and say, I'm feeling the love of God this morning because I'm loved by a loving Heavenly Father. God bless you. Have an incredible day. And may Jesus Christ be real in your life today. And may you feel so loved because of Calvary. If you have anything you'd like to speak to a counselor about, contact Radio Cape Pulpit, 021 180 5744. 021 180 5744. Or you can phone me, Pastor Brian, from Mondays to Thursdays between 9 o'clock and 12 noon, 021 552 4096. 021 552 4096. God bless you, and God love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.